rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to every one of you through the victory that our Lord has brought us, your fellow redeemed. We consider our text, which comes from Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. Before I decided to study to be a pastor, I was studying something called actuarial science. And that's just a fancy word for the guys that price your life insurance policies in it. There's a lot of math involved and statistics. A lot of tests are involved. In fact, you can't even really qualify to enter into this field unless you first pass that initial exam, the probability exam. I remember taking this exam quite distinctly. The nerves, the sweating, the pessimism. I remember the results. It wasn't too long after that I did decide to become a pastor. Maybe you've had similar experience. Maybe SATs, ACTs are words that make you sweat. Let's consider this on a heavenly level. What does it take? What qualifications are needed before we can stand in front of our holy God? Epiphany season and the Transfiguration focused on the glory, the exaltation of our Lord and Savior. And now we turn to the Passion season as that glory begins to be hidden in the suffering and death of our humbled servant and Savior, Jesus. In every way we consider now, and we ask the Spirit to bless our study as we consider how Jesus qualifies to be our Savior. First qualification, you must be chosen by God. I guess this applies equally to any job market, because even if you are the most qualified, even if you've taken all the tests, passed them, spent all the money, you still have to be accepted by your employer. Jesus was chosen and accepted by his Father. We read in verses 10 and 11. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is God's beloved Son, the only begotten Son of God. In fact, he met this qualification long before his baptism, even all the way back to his birth. Jesus was being referred to as the Christ, the promised one, the Son of God. This word Christ describes greatly this qualification, because the word actually describes an office. It's the office of the Christ. It means the anointed one, the chosen one. It dates back to the Old Testament prophecies of this one that would be chosen and anointed as God's only Son and Savior of the world. Psalm 2 reads, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my Son. Today I have begotten you.'" Jesus must qualify for this work of salvation. Our lives depend on it, because none of us are qualified. Psalm 51 describes how we were brought forth in iniquity. From our birth and even our conception, we have a sinful flesh that lives on with us. And we keep falling short. We keep being disqualified. Well, God responded to this dilemma. Even before the birth of Jesus, he had already planned this salvation, finding that one that would be qualified to take your place. We read from Peter, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Jesus' baptism then was that public confirmation that this was the chosen one, the Christ, God's stamp of approval, as he says, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am delighted." Qualification number one, check. Of the four Gospels, Mark distinguishes himself from the other Gospels in that his is action-packed. It's moving from the very beginning to the very end. It's the shortest of the Gospels. And here we find not even 13 verses into the Gospel, and Jesus is baptized, beginning his public ministry, and facing Satan head-on. We read in verse 12, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness." How excited are you ever to take an exam? Our Savior wasted no time in taking your place and taking on Satan. Temptations we face are real. I mean that in capital letters. The tests we face are real. Actually, the Greek word, whether translated temptation in some places or test, in other places, is the same. Because it kind of depends on what your perspective is. If you're looking at it from Satan's perspective, it's a temptation. He is trying to lure you. If you look at it from God's perspective, how he allows these things to happen, it's a test. The problem is, without our Savior, we've failed both tests and temptations. Our flesh is always leading us towards giving in to Satan. Our flesh is leading us to despise God's tests. When tests of our faith arise, we think, "Why me?" And when temptations arise, we think, "Why not me?" We just don't qualify. But our Savior does. Jesus faced real temptations. In capital letters. His 40 days were not just a challenge to go without food, to survive from being eaten by a lion or a bear. If we turn to the book of Hebrews, we find the Holy Spirit revealing, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, that one that goes between God and man, in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, the satisfactory payment for the sins of the people. In that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted or tested. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted and tested as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was both tempted and tested in the same way that you are tempted and tested right now. In all things, he had to be made like his brethren. He didn't face Satan as the almighty Son of God. He faced him as the Son of Man, giving up all his divine rights and authorities and powers to do it like you have to do it. He is the second Adam. Where we have failed, he succeeded. Where the tests you face seem like they're too much to bear, he was there too. And he's there to stand with you. through all these times. To this he was called. He was literally driven out, it says, into the wilderness. It was something the Spirit compelled him to face. And it was something the Spirit was with him throughout. Enter now your personal scenario. Do you feel driven out into the wilderness? Do you feel alone, facing Satan and all he's got? The word Lent means 40. And it reminds us of these 40 days that our Savior stood in the wilderness, truly alone, facing Satan. For these actuarial exams that I had spoken of, I needed to. It was estimated that a student had to commit himself to 100 hours of study time for every hour you would be in a test room. And so for this initial test, it amounted to about 300 hours of study time for the three-hour test. When it comes to our spiritual exams, we need much more than 300 hours of preparation. In fact, it's really not about our self-dedication that is going to get us ready for these things. It's only Savior preparation. You need Jesus as your side, at your side as you face these days. You need Him to equip you with what's needed. You have Him standing in the wilderness, in your place, facing these things for you. You're not alone. And as the angels came and ministered to Jesus' needs, so also may messengers come and minister to your needs. May we be angels to one another, serving each other in all the needs that we have in this world. As we pray in the sixth and seventh petition, lead us not into tests and temptations, but deliver us from evil. The Spirit drove Jesus into temptation so that you can be led out. Qualification number two, check. I sure remember the results of that three-hour exam that I took. In fact, I think I already knew the results before I even sat down to take it. We have the results in our hands to God's test. We have the results already laid before us. And it's nothing but good news. This qualification was laid out in Isaiah 61 as he prophesied of Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn." Qualification number three is that in order to be your Savior, Jesus must have something good to say. Verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What kind of Savior would He be if He brought you bad news? What kind of Savior would He be if He brought bad results to this exam? I don't even know how humans in this world can face any temptation or any test without knowing that this Savior has already won the victory for you. Where do they turn? There's nothing to turn to except oneself. And that's not a comforting thought. But here is an encouraging thought. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news that Jesus has passed every test for you, that He's fully qualified to be your Savior and to rescue you out of every temptation and every test. As we will sing in the next hymn, He's by our side upon the plain with His good gifts and Spirit. And take they our life, good, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Yes, the kingdom yours remaineth. That is, God is ruling in your heart, protecting you and strengthening you, bringing you again and again this good news that your sins are forgiven and your home in heaven is secure. He's by your side in every trouble, every temptation, your refuge, your strength. Believe the good news. Qualification number 3, check. The sweats, the nerves, the doubts, the apprehensions can all fade away. It's not on your shoulders to pass these tests, these temptations. It is on Jesus' shoulders, and he's passed them all. Through his sweat, his labor, his preparation, and his cross, he is fully qualified. He has been chosen and has overcome Satan, and he is indeed your Savior. Amen. We rise.